Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Bienvenue à tout le monde, les gens du monde. Si vous pouvez entendre ma voix, vous êtes arrivés dans un autre épisode de Brandfast avec Brand Pop. Clairement, je suis pas Brand Pop. Je m'appelle Cassidy Parker.
It is Cassidy Parker, and Cassidy Parker has played recurring roles on shows like Dear White People, Better Things. She also plays an excellent villain on a little film called Sauce Boys. You guys heard of that? So we might talk a little bit about that. And we also had an excellent breakfast and maybe some drinks from Tokaya in Westwood. So let's not waste any more time because we've got Cassidy Parker today on Breakfast.
Pick it up.
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
That could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't eat any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing? What?
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too.
I'm always playing blue collar guys.
Breakfast.
Somebody screw through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a crawler. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
Yes. Yes, we definitely did have drinks. It was not possibly.
It was not. We did. And there were spicy ones and non-spicy ones.
Spicy, all types. You had a Paloma for the first time.
I did.
I had a passion fruit margarita not for the first time.
Yeah. I like the Paloma. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, okay. I did. Yeah.
I was about ready to talk about it. I was like, anytime you want to talk about margaritas, I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah. We could have several discussions about margaritas. Have you had more margaritas in your life or known more people named Margarita? I've definitely had more margaritas. I don't think
I surely had more.
Yeah.
Although I have known a few margaritas.
I don't think I know anybody named Margarita.
It always gets me confused, too, because I'm like, Italian or Mexican? Because it's the pizza or the drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Or should you have, you know, a salt rim? No?
Yes.
Yeah.
You always should.
No, I mean the person. Like.
Oh. Also, yes.
Excuse me, Margarita. I believe you left the house without your salt rim and tahine. Thank you.
Oh, my God. The people that are like, if they don't want salt on the rim and they send it back
because
it has salt on it on accident or they forgot to say they didn't want salt, whatever the reason is, like, I just want to punch them in the fucking face, starting right off with an F-bomb.
Okay. Full disclosure, I will often order a margarita without the salt rim. But if they bring me the salt rim, I will either just like wipe it off or deal with it. I don't care.
This is what we should have said at the beginning of the episode. People of the world, if you ever order a margarita without salt and it comes with salt, or you forgot and you didn't want it with salt, shut up.
I think they have an association. I think it's called Margaritas Without Borders or something like that. I didn't make up the name.
I didn't either.
Very serious thing.
I didn't either. I don't know what I mean. But hold on. Let me say, because I need to tell people this.
Okay.
If you get it with salt, there are two options. You have a straw, and if you don't drink through a straw, like someone like me, I don't. But I would drink through a straw if I didn't want salt and there was salt. And or you have fingers and or a napkin. Just wipe it off a little bit where you're going to drink.
Get rid of salt.
They're literally going to just put it in a new glass.
Yeah, they're not going to, right.
And also, you've just disturbed everyone.
Also, if you have the straw, why would you get the salt anyway? You're not touching the rim.
Exactly.
And the salt and the tahine.
Tahine is pretty cool. That's like a new development with margaritas.
Yeah.
Not new, obviously, but new, I guess, more to me in the mainstream culture with margaritas.
Right.
I'm interested in tahine or salt.
Tahine, they put on a lot of drinks. Now, don't think if you get like those... what is it called? The one that's like a beer that has the tomato juice in it.
Oh, michelada.
Yeah, michelada. Don't they put like the tahini on the on that too sometimes?
I think sometimes they do. But again, if they put it on there and you didn't want it.
I love when somebody calls it tajin. Oh, the tajin.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be ordering it then.
No.
You should tell them, no, no, sir or ma'am, you do not deserve it.
No, I've had a margarita before. I have it with the tajin and everything. So, yeah, thank you.
I knew we were just going to have a chat about margarita.
Yeah, we're going to look. This is the margarita hour. Guys, I'd like to introduce right now our brand new podcast, Tahine for Margaritas. Wasted away again in Margaritaville.
In Margaritaville.
Searching for my lost shaker of salt.
Lost shaker of salt of tahine.
Some people claim that there's a woman to blame.
There's always a woman to blame.
But I know.
I know.
It's Cassidy Parker's fault.
It always is her fault.
That's right. So look for that new podcast coming up soon, guys. It's going to be very interesting. Lots of very variants on margaritas.
And also how margarita etiquette. Margarita kit.
Yeah. Yeah. Margarita kit. That's correct. Yeah. That's the name of your, that you're writing a book on that also, right? Margarita kit.
It's a short book, yes. But it is impactful.
Sentry, you gave a couple of the rules already. Don't give them all away because we want them to still buy the book.
Buy the book. Yeah. You have to be accepted by society.
That's right. You and I met, well, we have the same manager. I think we met at some kind of...
Many years ago. Yeah. Probably now. Save the pandemic. That doesn't matter in anyone's
yeah,
head.
Yeah, exactly.
That could have been 1 month. That could have been 1 day. It could have been 5 years.
Could have been 100 years ago.
I never want to know. Yeah.
It was back when margaritas did not have tahine. I believe. If that gives
that's
you,
that long
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call it not BC, BT, before tahine.
Yeah. Yeah. I will have to verify with many, many Mexicans first, though, because I'm not going to claim to know more than they know about
tahine. Oh, no. All this stuff about tahine, we don't actually know anything about it. No. We're just, I do know that
we
it's
can
a
guess.
Like, it's a nice spice. I do like tahine.
It is. I think I want it to be spicier, and I think I want it to be saltier
okay.
also.
But then would it be something else?
Tahine.
If it was spicier.
Like tahine times two, like tahine
yeah.
two.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, tahine two, electric boogaloo, something like that, right?
Electric boogaloo.
Anyway, so yeah, we met because we have the same manager and we meet at different events. We worked on Sauce Boys together.
Yes, we did.
I would like to talk about that because I think you're known. I know that you did a lot of dance and a lot of musical theater, and we'll talk about that later. But I know you mostly doing like kind of comedy stuff. You're very funny. You got good comedy timing.
Thank you.
But on Sauce Boys, I mean, you got to play a villain.
Yeah.
And I thought you were, I mean, really, really good as a villain.
Thanks.
I found you like very like Bond villain-esque to me. You
that
know what I mean?
That was the goal, I think,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Good. We accomplished the goal.
I was trying to be, I don't know if you've seen Major League. It's a baseball movie where it's like, whether it's one of those coaches. I was just trying to be that coach.
Oh,
really.
I was kind of going for the same thing too.
Yeah.
No, actually, I told Brian this. Brian is a creator of the movie and all that.
Brian Galese, he's been on Brandfest before, yeah.
I told him multiple times, I was like, I think this is my dream role.
Yeah?
I think I'm good. No, I'm not good, but like good after that. I mean, I'm not all the way good, but like I would have never known how to describe my dream role, but like he like basically made it and without him knowing that I would like it so much. And it was just so cool. It was just like such a cool combo of being super cool and badass and villainous, which I had never actually gotten to play before. Also just being myself. I took a little inspo from Heath Ledger's Joker a little bit, just in the sense of that she's making jokes and then she's going to turn around and kill you, which sounds so cool if I could do that in real life. So it's just being me in real life, but like in a movie so I could kill people.
Nice. Well, and you know, I've talked about Sauce Boys on the show. I don't know if we've had too many shows since it's been on streaming. So I've got it on if you look up my Instagram, all the info's on there.
We watched it on the big screen and it looked amazing.
It did
there
look really
too.
Cool. We saw it at the Chinese theater.
Yeah.
We saw it at another screening room.
Yeah. But the Chinese theater is an actual big screen. And I went through the festival circuit with my first film a few years ago and had to make sure it was okay to play on big screens as well. And Brian did it all on his own. As far as I know, I'm sure he had a little help from someone, but not like a professional company
right.
or anything. I had a professional company do it because I was like, I have no clue how to do this. And this was also like 5-6 years ago. And it looked so good. It looked like the thing was basically made for your phone, right? That is such a small screen compared to a giant screen at a movie theater.
Right.
And it looked exactly the same on the phone as it did on the TV in a good way.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Sometimes it could be like real kind of blurry when it gets
big.
I would say the same thing. It was like one of the my favorite parts I've ever got to play.
Really?
Yeah, because it's kind of like the Danny Glover in the Lethal Weapon guys. Ah, I'm getting too old for this crap. You know what I mean? That guy that's in every like cop. Buddy, I'm about to retire. This is my last day. Hope nothing happens today on my last day. You know?
Awesome. And I love that.
Kind of yelling at the younger guys. Hey, you guys are off the case. If come on.
He did
the commissioner's on my ass.
The commish. That's so cool that he made that for both of us, that we enjoyed it so much.
And then, so Brian, him and his spelling mistakes.
It's gotten a lot better. I've called him out so many times.
Oh,
like, literally,
you?
Sometimes we're texting and I'm like, go back and read that text because I sincerely don't know what the hell you're saying.
Yeah. Are you a spelling person?
Yeah.
I am too. I was like, you know, spelling champion type guy.
I was in a spelling bee once in elementary school.
Yeah.
Even. Like, that was kind of the only thing I could do in school.
Yeah.
Besides sing sometimes and... Yeah. Act. And I, even in acting class, like, they made us do yoga in the morning, and I hated that.
So you didn't like yoga? I mean, well, okay.
I hated yoga growing
as
up.
As a kid? Now, how about now?
Now I enjoy it, but I do it more for strength. So I do advanced power core, whatever, yoga.
Okay.
But I do think it's important as well to be doing stretching and stuff.
I do really... It's something I discovered probably in my 30s, but I really enjoy yoga. I like to be in a live yoga class with an actual instructor there. I have a hard time doing it just on a video.
Really?
So I haven't done it in a couple of years now. I think I perform better when there's other people there because, you know, otherwise I'll just give up and fall down. Oh, I lost my balance. I'll really try to not lose my balance if there's other people there, you know?
Like, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay, so you've known, you've had a couple little recurring parts, Better Things, which, guys, everyone knows. Nobody's a bigger fan of Better Things than me.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that show. I was lucky enough to do one episode of the show. You had a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
How was your experience on that?
So great. I mean, it was my first TV show.
Really?
Yeah. And how I got my SAG card.
Oh, that's a good story.
It wasn't my first SAG job, but how they were like, you need to do it now.
You became a must join. Yeah.
I was like, okay. And luckily at the time I had a big commercial going, so it wasn't a huge like financial burden or anything.
Right.
Even though it's a crazy amount of money still, no matter even if you're financially good or not.
Right.
But what was I going to say? And I've talked about this before, too. But yeah, Pam, who's the creative of the show and director, I think she directs almost every episode, writes almost every episode. She's a star, whatever. She's such a cool boss. Like, she's the actual epitome of the boss that you want to have in anything.
Yeah.
100% as far as my experience goes. It was the first time, like you said, I grew up doing theater and then went to school for theater and did theater after school and et cetera. So I've been mic'd up by a lot of people, that's for sure. And that was the first time ever that I was been mic'd up, which is like someone puts a mic on you. So that sometimes involves literally shoving their hand all the way up the back of your shirt or down your pants or whatever it is. And that was the first time a woman has ever done that to me.
Yeah.
It's always been a guy. And so all of her department heads are women. All of her utensils and plates and things like that are eco-sustainable. And then all the food that they don't use for the everyday, at least when I was on it, at the end of the day, they donate the food instead of throw it away. So, and I'm all about all that stuff. So it was really cool. And I'm sure it's even more better now. I mean, when I watched the fourth season, I wasn't even mad. I wasn't even upset that I wasn't able to be on it again. Not that I was expecting it or anything, but I was just so blown away by how good the fourth season was. I loved it so much.
Yeah. I can't wait for season 5.
I know. I think it might be even better, which is hard to imagine. But also, it's been years. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know.
Duke might be, you know, in college now.
She
was in middle school. Now she's in college. I don't know.
Time is a construct.
You also did a couple episodes on Dear White People,
mm-hmm.
which I think is an important show. I think it's a really cool show. How was the audition for that, first of all?
I got it at 11 p.m. for 10 a.m. the next day.
Oh, wow.
It was only 2 lines. And it was like 2 pages. It was like the first scene that I was in. It was with Gabe. So it was only with one other person, but he had like a couple of monologues. And I just decided like it was cool because I was sitting outside the audition and I was like, I was taking a Groundlings class at the time and we were focusing on point of views. And I was like, I think I'm just going to go into this audition with a point of view. And I clearly hate this person.
Yeah.
And I have like reasons I hate them. But, you know, when you're thinking about how much you hate them and you're like not necessarily thinking about the reasons, you're just like, God, this person. So I just went in there with it like that. I felt good about it. I only did it once. They were like, that was great. And I was like, cool. Left. Yeah. It was actually this time of year, a few years ago. Yeah. It was just kind of regular, you know, like my agent was like, you're pinned for this role. And then she was like, you booked this role. Actually, Jess was getting married that weekend, our manager. So it was all my agent talking to me. And then I was there and it was like, honestly, the first day I was on it was one of my favorite days of probably my whole life, but definitely by far of working. It just, they were so open and open to creativity and open to trusting their actors, which was huge. I got to like watch a little bit in Village before. So that was really cool. And obviously like there's a huge stigma around like actors sitting at Village, or especially since like if they don't know you. But I just asked because I'm okay with asking and they said yeah. So I just kind of sat in the back. And so I got to watch them, you know, I got to watch the director direct one full scene before I even worked, which was super helpful because I just was like, oh, this is how it's working. This is the vibe. This is what they're okay with. They also told me that at the end of the day that they were like, oh, I think that you're coming back. And so that obviously made it a lot better too.
That's cool. And you didn't know ahead of time you were going to come back.
That wasn't expected.
That's great.
Same with Better Things, like I said. So yeah, I just got very lucky. And then I ended up doing, I think like 4 or 5 more days on that show. Yeah, it was really, really, really cool. I'm super appreciative of that experience.
Something that you mentioned that I think's worth talking about. You talk about hanging out at Video Village. And you know, let me, some of the listeners, you know, if you're not, never been on set, you might not know what that is. Mm-hmm. You might have seen this if you're watching a show. The producers or some other people are sitting and they're watching a bunch of TV screens sitting on chairs. That's usually
just what, all together.
Yeah, that's what Video Village is. And sometimes they'll have notes. And when you cut, they'll be like, oh, can you ask Cassidy to do this? Or maybe we could try it this way. Maybe they'll talk to the director. It is interesting because I like to hang out at Video Village, but I'll always ask if I can.
Yeah.
And it depends. I think it's really dependent on who the director is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the time that the person was really, really thought it was really cool was like Ryan Murphy was like, yeah, you want to do that? He goes, cool. Most actors don't want to hang out. They want to just go back to the trail. I was like, no, I'm interested in this whole thing. And he says, do you want to be a director? And I was like, not really. I just kind of want to see watch the actors work. And I mean, you know, maybe, but that's not my intention is learning how to direct.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's interesting. So it kind of depends on.
Yeah.
Who the creative person is in charge, whether they're like, they're okay with people kind of watching them, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It can be dicey, but I think it's like you just said, even if you're not interested in producing or directing or writing even anything involved at all, like I said, it was so helpful for me in that experience because it's literally just like with any job, non-entertainment related at all. Like if you can get a sense of what the energy is, then you can much more easily fit into it in the way that they want you to. How do you expect someone to just be 100% great in everything you want them to be if they've never done anything like that before?
Right.
And each set is different.
You know, another thing that makes it, I guess, to me, even more helpful to watch a Video Village is, unlike when you're doing stage stuff, when you rehearse all the time, there's often not much rehearsal you get before you start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you haven't rehearsed at all with your... So it's helpful to be able to watch some of the scenes around your scene to see how things are kind of playing out.
Yeah.
And it gets you in that mindset. It gets you in the tone of the show much easier because sometimes you could go out there and you think it's one way and then you're like, oh, this is being played much differently than I thought. Okay, I'm going to adjust.
And even I don't know, grew up in theater. And so just being in the atmosphere as much as possible just was always sort of default for me. I think I even remember being like, if you want to run lines, like, let me know. Yeah. And then I would be like, can you please run these lines with me? Oh my God. It just feels like, to be just so not even green in the sense of experience in the industry, but just green on that job. It feels so bad.
I just worked on a show last week and I thought it was really cool because I was like, they said something and I was like, oh, what does that mean? And they were saying something like, okay, guys, library read through or something. And it's like all the cast got together in a circle to like read the scene before we shot. And I was like, oh, this doesn't happen very often. This is cool. Okay, good. Because then you feel more comfortable because sometimes you get out there and you're like, I haven't said these lines out loud to other people the whole day. And then,
or even just especially like, and if it's another day that you have an audition for, like if you are recurring or whatever, at least if you have the audition and then you go and do the job, you're like, well, clearly they liked what I did in the audition. So I'm kind of just going to do it similarly, at least. If you have new material, you're like, okay, well, I guess I just have to trust myself.
Right. Trust your instincts and they'll guide you if they want something different. Before we go too much further, we did have a wonderful nighttime breakfast.
Yeah, and is this new for you?
I think it might be the first nighttime breakfast. Yeah.
You're welcome. Of all,
yeah. It was great.
I like to come out in the night.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know if we're going to drink. I mean, if I don't drink, it's not that big of a deal, obviously. But we were there and there were margaritas. Again, hashtag Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Which is where we are right now.
Marco, I don't hear you laughing. That was a funny line.
It's just leave him alone. Everything.
I think my headphones aren't working. That's okay.
Okay.
My headphones aren't working, Marco. I know you're laughing back there.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, I know you. I've known you for a while, but I don't know you that well. And I was like, I think he drinks. It was like, all these fucking people in LA that don't drink.
If I don't drink, it's only because I'm like trying to like save calories. This has nothing to do with not drinking or
save
drinking.
Save calories for Taco Bell.
Thank you. Wow. How did you know that?
Do they have
look, those there? Nachos Bel Grande aren't going to, I have to save room for the Nachos Bel Grande. Thank you.
I do prefer liquid calories, but I was like, are you going to have a drink? And we're like, I'll have a drink if you have a drink. And I was like, great.
Yeah.
And then we were 5 margaritas in each, mm-hmm. just an hour and a half later. And we had used all their tahine, so we couldn't have another 6th margarita.
They're like, ma'am, there's no more tahine.
And I was like, I don't even like it that much. It's fine. We have salt. No, they're like, they're trying to kick us out. No, we don't have salt. I'm like, yeah, fine.
No, I'm out of tahine. No, I'm out of tahine. You're not. I'm out of tahine.
My tahine levels are so low right now. Anyway.
I think tahine is the same as the spice from the movie Dune, where it's like, it gives you like prescient abilities if you drink enough, have enough tahine. You know,
I Dune.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it kind of look like the spice from Dune, though? It's the same color as the spice from Dune. It's got like the orange, that orangish red spice that comes out of the sandworms, you know?
Oh, my God. Those worms.
Yeah.
No, I did not like that.
No?
I didn't like the worm part. Ooh, I don't even like that word. And then also, like, to have it be a giant mechanical rolling thing. I think it might have to be the way that their body moves. I hate snakes so much.
Yeah.
I always say if I could pay to watch every snake burn, every single snake in the world, if they threw it into a pit, I would pay a lot of money to just watch it. I don't need to know that it happened. I need to see that it happened.
Yeah.
I don't have that big of a hate for anything, really, except for snakes, and I'm okay with it. I think they need to die. I think sometimes the solution to some things is just they need to die. Not be murdered necessarily, which this would be a murder of snakes, but...
Yeah. Cut to 5 years later. Mr. Pope, were you or were you not in an interview with Miss Parker where she said, and I quote, some things just need to die.
Yeah, but by natural causes.
Yeah, well, this is fair enough. She did say the thing about natural causes. They need to die.
I didn't say murder by natural causes.
So we did have some food also. We had some drinks. We had some food. I had the grilled pineapple al pastor bowl. I did not have the al pastor meat.
No.
I had the breaded mahi-mahi instead.
Yeah, you did.
Which was really tasty.
It's good. That was my rack.
Chili-dusted grilled pineapple.
Did you like that? Was it warm pineapple or cold?
I don't remember if it was which one, but I remember it paired really well with the fish, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, good.
Because the fish is a little sweet, you know? And then this is like kind of, the chili was a little tangy.
Ooh,
it was really nice. It was
that
really
sounds good.
I did not know that I was going to like it that much. It was really good. And also had like cilantro lime rice. So it had...
We love cilantro. Cilantro,
yeah. And cilantro and lime together is really good with rice. That's what they put in the El Pollo Loco cauliflower rice.
El Pollo Loco has cauliflower rice? Damn, they're really stepping up their game.
Yeah. I mean, that's when I go there now, that's what I get. I'll get like a couple pieces of chicken and the cilantro lime rice.
Get it, Brent.
Yep.
Really trying to get out there in that health
I
game.
I am. And I think it tastes better than
regular rice.
The regular rice anyway. Yeah.
Good.
But also this had black beans, pickled onions, guacamole.
Yeah.
You had some tacos, right?
I had 2 tacos because I had a late, late, late lunch. Weirdly, it was like didn't eat until like 4:30 or 5, which is not really like me. So I only had 2 tacos. And yeah, as I told you, I've been a vegetarian for 15 years.
Yeah.
Haven't eaten red meat for almost 20 years.
Oh, wow.
This year I went to Greece and I thought, oh, I'm going to Greece for like over 2 weeks. And I'm gluten free as well. So it's not like I can fill up with bread in a different country. And so I was like, I might need to like eat a little fish and getting a little bit older. So I wanted to start eating fish for my skin. I don't think it's working. However.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't really notice
it. Supposed to have like the natural, the oils in the skin.
The oils.
Yeah.
I honestly don't notice that much of a difference, but I also don't eat fish every day or anything like that. But I have eaten a lot more fish this year than I ever have in my entire life. Mm. That's for damn sure. Or seafood in general. Again, I don't eat a ton, but I do love that gluten-free breaded mahi-mahi at Takaya.
You know, if you're kind of learning about the different fishes, what are some of the ones that you enjoy?
The thing is I don't eat fillets of fish. Like, I wouldn't order salmon at a restaurant or trout or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do eat tuna.
Would you order, like, a salmon salad where the salmon is kind of chopped up in the salad or something like
that? I haven't yet, and that doesn't feel great to me.
Okay.
I've only eaten a little bit of salmon if it's been in sushi. And again, I haven't done that often, but I mainly just eat ahi if I'm going to get something. But yeah, I had the breaded mahi-mahi Baja tacos.
We did start getting a lot of, I remember the place that we go, but they have this one roll where it's like salmon wrapped in cucumber.
Yes.
Instead of the rice. It's pretty good.
I love when it has a cucumber roll because I'm about textures.
Yeah.
And I love a crunch.
You got the crunchiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What else was in your tacos? You had the mahi-mahi. Was it like cabbage?
It was cabbage. And then I think it was some sort of, I don't remember what kind of aioli, but usually when it's like a Baja taco, it will have fish, it will have cabbage, and it will have an aioli.
Yep.
And I love that combo. Let me get an aioli any day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like aioli, it's kind of just a lighter version of mayo, though, right?
Not lighter. It just has like, I mean, basically the base is mayonnaise of an aioli. Garlic aioli is basically just garlic with mayonnaise. And I love a spicy aioli, which is usually like some sort of form of either chipotle or sriracha.
Yeah.
If there's sesame oil in it, it's even better because I love sesame oil. I love an aioli.
I like a nice ravioli. Is that?
Mm-mm, that's not it.
That's a thing.
But I do know. Okay, so my two favorite aiolis we'll talk about.
Okay.
Spicy mayonnaise from any Hillstone restaurant.
What are Hillstone restaurants?
Hillstone is like R&D. I've worked for the company for a long time.
Okay.
R&D, Bandera, Gulfstream, Hillstone, Houston's. That's those restaurants. What else? I think it's just called garlic aioli at Rocco's, which is in West Hollywood or Culver City, possibly more. Their French fries have, I think it's basil and fennel, like herbs actually in their fries. And then they have a garlic aioli. And I wouldn't mind taking a bath in that aioli. I want it all over my body. That's how much in love with it I am.
Wow. So,
wow.
Well, thank you for going to Takaya with me.
Thank you.
It was nice drinks.
Oh my gosh, it was so literally closed the place, which I hate doing.
We did.
I'm like, sorry. But, you know, we were there for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I think we left when they were like, sir, could you lift your feet? I'm mopping the floor.
Mopping right underneath you. Yeah. We were like, we gotta go. They're out of tahine.
I only came here to do two things. Eat tahine and kick some ass. Looks like they're out of tahine.
People listening are like, are they going to stop talking about tahine?
Oh, no. We are going to run this into the ground. Ty Hindenburg of, anyway. Before we get out of here, I'm going to get three quick recommendations from Cassidy Parker. Is there a role on a movie or TV show that really inspired you that you wish you could have played?
Yeah, I have a list for everything. There's lists for this in my phone for moments like these. Because, you know, I even have a list that says, like, what do I like to do for fun?
Really?
Because everyone gets so nervous when they get asked.
Is one of the things make lists?
No, making lists isn't super fun. Crossing out things on lists.
Says you.
Okay, well, whatever. Yeah, says me. I just said it.
Look at my list.
Bites. What I do for fun. Hang out with Rue. Take her places. That's my dog.
Oh, nice.
Hang out with Rue and take her places.
Nice.
I'm so dumb. Okay, actually, I can't find this list right now. I have too many lists. But the first one I can think of right off the bat is Sarah Snook in who plays Shiv in Succession.
Yes!
I was actually thinking about her on the way over here because when am I not thinking about Sarah Snook?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Me too.
Oh, good. Maybe we can be in a throuple with her.
I mean, I think Tress will be okay with that. Yeah.
Well, maybe you guys can be in a throuple with her and I'll just be with her on my own.
Fine.
Okay,
great. Yeah.
And
also, I need Cousin Greg. I was told this is more of a throuple type situation. I'm not used to, I'm used to kind of the more one individual, me and another person type of dating? Is that...
Dang, you're so good at that. I tried to do Tom for a second. I was like, don't do it.
Tom is super hard to do, man. His voice is... it's I can't do it.
He's so good.
It's very like kind of in your nose type voice, and it's very hard to do.
I can't believe how good every single person on that show is.
They are, but Sarah Snook, that's the character I'm cheering for on Succession.
Really?
Yeah, I am. Sometimes it's hard. Because I'm like, why'd you
do that?
She's
such an idiot. Sometimes she just gets so into things sometimes, and she's so desperate for something.
I think she's a little, all of them get a little overconfident.
Of course.
And then get it flipped
on. But it comes from being desperate. It comes from their insecurity.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, because I would love to have played that role, but I would have never been able to do it as well as she does, nor could anyone else in the entire world. But I think I would like to introduce a new character on that show that I would play.
Okay.
And it'd be like season 4 or 5. Like, it'd be maybe towards like when they're wrapping it up. But like, still, I'd be on it for a couple seasons towards the end. I'd be the person who like challenges Ronan. But like, I'd be basically kind of the girl that I am right now, but just much smarter and much better with words because they were already written out in a script.
Okay.
And I would be the one that kind of is able to sort of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not set him straight. I'm the only person who really is able to kind of fuck him up in his own way, you know?
Yeah.
And then maybe we would get together. I don't know.
I think what they need on that show is more like evil people messing people up. Yeah. I mean, there's not enough of that.
There's not. But the people who would actually win, you know what I mean? Because every single new person they introduce always gets taken down somehow.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, ooh, I want to be like the person that really just whips him into shape.
I think I'd like to be a guy that comes in as an official judge for Boar on the Floor. Like, I'm like, I know, excuse me, guys. If you're doing Boar on the Floor, I'm an official judge. I know all the rules.
Every time.
That is not an official hot dog that you're throwing on. Sausage you're throwing on the ground for everyone to eat. You're supposed to be in your corner, sir, and you're supposed to be sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I felt like people weren't following the rules in the Boar on the Floor episode. If you guys haven't seen Succession, that's a pretty great episode.
Of course. Of course it's
Boar on the Floor judge. That's me. Well, let me ask you this. Is there a particular, like, you do a lot of comedy too, mm-hmm. particular comedian that you're, like, really inspired by?
Yeah. I mean, of course, Chelsea Handler. Mm. I have read all of her books growing up. I watched her on Chelsea Lately growing up. I've watched all the things. I've listened to audiobooks. I've read all of her books. I listened to every episode of her podcast. I haven't seen her live, but I've seen, like, any special that she's done that's been on Netflix or HBO.
I took Groundlings with Fortune Feimster.
One
of her writers and done. I used to sub in on one of her groups that she was in.
Cool.
It was a group with her and Tony Cavallaro and Josh McDermott were on this one.
That's
the big names that came out of the group. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Robert Downey Jr. That was the name of the group. Because Richard Feliciano kind of ran the group and he kind of looks like Robert Downey Jr. So they call him Robert Downey Jr.
LOL.
Which is pretty great. Yeah.
That's funny. No, I think she's super great. I would do anything to work for her in any capacity and be her friend and just be involved in her life somehow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Chelsea, are you online too?
Chelsea, are you there? It's me, Cassidy.
No.
The only thing that we wouldn't agree on is vodka and gin. I mean, actually, I don't know her stance on gin, but she's obsessed with vodka, of course, and that's her drink of choice, and mine is gin.
In general, I do not like gin, but I love a good Negroni, which is a gin-based drink. Negroni is one of my favorite drinks now.
I feel as though the main taste in Negronis is the Campari and sweet vermouth, though, not the gin. So that might be the solution to your...
And that orange. If it's a nice place, that little orange slice, you'll have that little essence of that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll taste that.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite cocktails is a good Negroni. Mm-hmm. One of my least favorite is a bad Negroni. It's really bad.
Yeah, I'm not huge into Campari or sweet vermouth, so I don't drink Negronis, but I drink dirty martinis with gin, or my drink of choice used to be just gin and a little Saint Germain.
I just had my first dirty martini, like, Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was okay.
With vodka or gin?
With gin.
Well, you probably need it with vodka then, even though that's not, like, the classic way to do it.
Yeah.
But if you don't like gin, I wouldn't...
No, it was okay. It didn't excite me. It tasted okay. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I could drink it.
The thing is like somehow, even though a martini is just the most basic ingredients, it is the way that you shake it, and it's particularly the ice. And it is the particular brand of olives/olive juice that matter a lot. Because if it's like a weird tasting olive juice, it's not going to be good.
See, in this place I had it, it was the same place I had a weird Negroni too. So maybe it's just like
a
casino in Vegas. One of the lesser casinos in Vegas. That's probably not the place to get a dirty martini. Maybe I shouldn't judge it. I'll try it. I'll try one at Bordner's in Los Angeles or someplace like that. Yeah. Anyway, but I do think the olives, that is a very attractive part.
I swear to you, it's the ice, because like if I even make it at home, my ice doesn't. You want the ice to really sort of crush apart a little bit when you're shaking it. So that it gets, you know.
So the kind they might have at a bar is more like, now the kind you might have at your house is not probably what you
probably
want?
Probably not. The ice I've found at home is too frozen.
Yeah.
So it's too hard. Okay. So you want, like, at least in most people's preference, including mine, I want ice chips on the top of it. And if I do it at home, I don't ever get any of those.
This one I had chocolate chips on the top of it. Is that?
That's probably why it was just okay.
Butterscotch, not chocolate.
It was butterscotch.
Butterscotch chips on top of it, yes.
It just keeps getting better.
Well, thank you for those, recommendations on the inspiring things to you.
I always have to drink recommendations. I'm like Chelsea Handler, and then I just start talking about dirty martinis. Oh God!
Breakfast episode drinks.
We should have just done drinks. That would have been hilarious. But like, we didn't even eat anything.
Right. I thought at one point, I was like, maybe we're not going to eat anything. And that's cool. We'll just talk about these drinks. That would have been fine.
We still did talk about them for too long anyway.
Well, guys, if you want to get more breakfast stuff, such as pics of Cassidy Parker and I enjoying our breakfast from Takaya and Westwood, go to my website, BrentPope.com. You can listen to all the breakfast episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances and the official breakfast store with a bunch of fun stuff, shirts, mugs, stickers, masks, Cassidy Parker's drink catalog with tabs for all the major types of drinks. Perfect for the holidays, guys. People of Earth, do yourself a favor by picking up something from the breakfast store. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to breakfast, and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Breakfast is being enjoyed all over the United States and in 48 other countries, so close to 50. And trust me, my breakfast burrito brigade, we are just getting started. El Salvador is the latest. So everyone have a nice pupusa inspired by the food from El Salvador. Pupusas are really good. Have you had them?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I love them. Special thanks to my editor, the one and only Rosemary Brown, for all the breakfast slicing and dicing. Much appreciated. Big ups also to my studio engineer, Marco Leon, for making me sound so good and laughing at my jokes. Cassidy Parker, what is next for you and where can we find you on social media?
My social media is Classity, CLASSCITY. You can see me there. And nice. Also, I think we're doing another Sauce Boys type of thing.
Oh, we are. We're working on a project. Hit up Brian Galese. He can tell you if he's not being knocked down really fast on Westworld.
Really, the fastest.
The fastest ever. Cassidy Parker, thank you so much for coming in. This was fun. This was insanity, and I loved it.
Thank you so much for having me. Chaos is my MO, I think.
Nice.
It was so fun. Thank you.
And with that, we put another Cadillac Margarita Tajin Spicy Margarita Double Margarita episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See ya.